welcome back, everyone. We are on episode number 5 of our daily Christian living habits. Amanda, welcome. It's so good to be back with you. We've survived the holidays. How were your holidays?
They were wonderful. Happy New Year. It's so good to be back with you and everyone else again.
Yes. I always think of a new year as like a brand new opportunity to start a new habit, start a new something or other, or cut out a bad habit. So today we're going to talk about daily habits. Imagine that, of Christian living. Do you want to real quick, let's do a real quick recap of what we've talked about for the previous couple of episodes.
Yeah.
We started out real simple, just talking about daily living with God, walking with God, that just making it a daily thing, that relationship is something that you endeavor to, you know, check in with God and have that daily relationship with Him. The second one was the mystery, like, daily dose of death.
Yeah.
All right, you want to take it from there?
Yeah, so then after we talked about the daily dose of death, right, dying to yourself, putting your fleshly desires away, then we talked about purpose.
Yeah.
Right? That was our third episode, purpose. What is our purpose in Christ? And we talked about that. The fourth episode was so much fun. Loved that one. It's daily dose of bread. I'm here for it all day. And so bread is, you and I know, it's not the bread that we get at a store. Right? He is our bread. And He is what we should be eating and partaking in of daily. And so today, yeah, we're going to do daily Bible study.
All right. So let's dive right on in. We've got a daily Bible study habit that we're going to talk about today. So why? Why do we need to study daily, study the Bible daily?
So studying the Bible, this is where we get wisdom, correction.
Yeah.
Direction.
Yeah.
I mean, it tells you, how do you, you know, how do you want a good marriage? Read the Bible. How do you manage your finances? Read the Bible.
Yeah.
How do you handle anger? Read the Bible, right? There's a lot of good just
knowledge,
wisdom, direction, correction, reproof. All of that is encompassed.
It's all of our daily stuff. It's all of our daily stuff, all of our daily decisions that we can find guidance for in the Word of God. But, I mean, even beyond that, I mean, a non-Christian can read the Bible and really live a very good life and a blessed life. I think, so to take it even beyond that, a daily study is really a deeper walk with God.
For sure.
Because the Word of God is the Word of God. It's the voice of God speaking into our lives. And so, yeah, we do read our Bible every day. But to be able to go beyond the surface and dig deeper into God's voice, into God's inspired word, that's where the relationship comes in. That's where you find out who God is and how He wants you to live and how He thinks of you. You know, not only how we think of Him, but also how He thinks of us as His children. And so it's definitely a treasure trove of blessings and all of that. So I do want to just start us off real quick with a quote. Do you have that pulled up, the superficiality quote?
Yeah.
So the purpose of daily study is going beyond the surface. And there was a really good quote. As you guys know, we are basing these topics off of a book written by Carlton L. Coon Sr. The book that we are using is Daily Things of Christian Living. There's 7 of them. And so today the topic we're talking about is the daily study. But in his book, he actually quotes another book. And actually one of the quotes that he says is, "The lack of Bible knowledge results in mediocrity, bad life decisions, and a lack of spiritual effectiveness." And so you know, being able to dig into the Word of God is, it's really kind of where we can go beyond the surface of our relationship with God. Do you have that?
Yeah, and he goes into say this. It says, Richard Foster wrote, "Superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people."
Exactly. We in our culture today, everything is so instant. Everything is so quick. You know, for the longest time, we heard people talk about our microwave, you know, society, because we wanted things done and we want it done now. But having a deep relationship with anyone, especially with God, takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes daily time. It's not something that you can, do a crash course on.
Yeah. It's funny. It makes me think of when Andy cooks something, you know, or sometimes he'll, you know, marinate chicken overnight and I'm just like, I want it now. And he's like, but if you wait and you let all of this, you know, soak in and take time, it'll be so much better tomorrow. And he's always right. It'll be good, right? Yeah. But it could be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But I have to wait. I have to be patient.
Exactly. And you got to do the work. You got to put the work in. You can't just, you know, throw the kitchen or the chicken out on the counter and, you know, it doesn't just happen by itself. You have to put the effort in.
For sure.
So where do we even start with daily study of the Word of God? You got any tips for us on that?
You know, when we were reading this, as soon as I saw the Bible study, my mind immediately went to the Bereans. Like before I even got to the Bereans, that's where I was at.
Yeah.
And so the Bereans were, they were a small city. And so Paul and Silas, was it Silas? Oh, Paul for sure. I think it was Silas too. They had just been in Thessalonica. Okay, Thessalonica. That's where, whatever, what Sister Shelley said, that's where they were. And that city was very large, large, big city.
Yeah.
They were not well received at all. They had, it became so chaotic at one point, they had to flee. They had to, the brothers were like, we're sending you away, right? And so they went to Berea, and this was small, but these people really received them. Here's what I liked about the Bereans, right? They were open-minded. They were willing to hear it. But then they would go and study it. Like, they would read the scriptures and search scriptures themselves. So basically what they're doing is, okay, Paul said A, B, C.
Right.
Does what we read and know match up with A, B, C?
Exactly.
And they were finding that, yes, these are overlapping. What he's saying is 100% true. Let's go back and hear what he has to say. Right? And I think when you... going to church and hearing the word is great, but when you go home and you meditate and you actually pull up those scripture settings yourself and you read them, what was, you know, taught to us today in Sunday school, or, you know, the message we heard preached, this is aligned with the Word of God. Yes, this is scripture, you know, and I think it's good. I think you have to, like you said, you have to put in work, because what does the Bible say, right? There's going to be false prophets.
Exactly.
You're going to have...
there's many warnings about false prophets.
Many. And so, you know, if you just take on face value what someone says, and sometimes some stuff sounds really lovely, but it's not biblical or spiritual. Sounds lovely, but it has nothing to do with the Word of God, right? So really, as ourselves, we should be like the Bereans, and we should, that's good to hear. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to go home. I'm open my Bible. What have I heard? What is this saying?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, aligning?
What is the word? Yep. What does the word say?
Yeah. I like the Bereans.
For sure.
What do you think about that?
Well, so I wrote down even just like the simple task of even in your daily reading, like, even just having a pen and paper with me. So like so that I don't get distracted, I actually read from a book, like from my Bible, like a physical Bible. I don't use my phone or a tablet or anything. So I will have a notebook and a pen with me at all times. And then as I'm going, I'm underlining things in my Bible and I'm making notes on my piece of paper. And it's not really like super in-depth stuff. It's just things that are like, oh, like I want to remember to go back and look that up, or I want to remember to go back and maybe cross-reference that with other scriptures. I will even write down questions that I have about whatever topic I'm reading in the Bible. And so I'll try to go back and, use the Word of God to answer my questions about the Word of God. And honestly, that's as simple as it gets. Daily study doesn't have to be where you have 5,000 books spread across your table. You can literally just use your Bible, especially if you've got a Bible that has the little indicators that tell you, hey, this word is used in other scriptures.
Yeah.
And then you can cross-reference. And then if you have like a Bible that has a concordance in the back, you can look that word up and see where else it occurs in the Bible. Maybe if you do want to have an additional resource, having a Bible dictionary is great, because there's going to be a lot of words that are used that are not common to us today.
Right.
And so being able to look it up in the original language and understand how that word was used in the Hebrew or Greek, then it just brings so much depth to those scriptures or to that setting, that just to have that simple understanding. So it doesn't require a lot of stuff, in my opinion. Now you can get fancy. I mean, you can go all out and you can have multiple translations of the Bible. You can have, there's just so many resources out there to help you with your study.
Yeah,
do you, with tools. Have you ever used anything like
that?
Yeah,
so I use Andy a lot.
Shout I don't know out. Where we can purchase one of those, but
shout out to Andy. That's my husband. God love him. I will go to him and I'm like, hey, cause he is about the strong concordance and he is like down in the weeds, as they say. He's like, and did you know in Hebrew it meant this and in Greek it meant this? Yeah. And I'm like, babe, we are lost in the rabbit hole and I just want to get back here. And this is where he's like, oh, I'm sorry. But like, God love Andy. So I use Andy. But one of the other things that I actually, reading this, I really like it, is there is this, like, worksheet, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like a little reference guide.
Yeah.
And some of the questions that, like, he asks when you're reading the Bible, there's 15 questions he has in here. I'm not going to read all 15.
Yeah.
But some of them, these are just, as you work your way through the Bible, these are maybe questions to think about as you're going. And the first one is who's talking?
Yeah. In your scripture setting,
Yeah, who's talking in this?
Yeah.
Right? Who are they speaking to?
Right. The audience?
Who is the audience? You got to know, it's not just people talking to people. Sometimes it was Jesus talking to the believers. Sometimes it was the apostles encouraging. So it's everybody talking, but who, know your audience, right? What was the historic setting, the cultural setting at that time? What questions are being prompted by the reading? Are you reading poetry? Is this a letter? Was this prophecy?
Right.
He goes to talk, what's the main subject? What is the leading lesson from here? What does it teach about Christ? Did I read this chapter to avoid an error in my life? Was there direction telling me, hey, don't do this? So there's really good questions
to think
in
about.
This. And these are questions, some of them I've never even thought about. So I do like doing things like this where you do get someone else's perspective, right? So I think being able to ask yourself, okay, well, what did I read today? And like you said, right? Sometimes it maybe just be a sentence that you're meditating on.
Right.
Because sometimes there are pretty heavy sentences where you're like, whew, I'm going to have to let that one soak in for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to. And I think that's when when we say meditate,
right.
You are constantly thinking about that scripture or that verse or that paragraph, that you read, and that you're it's constantly on your brain.
Right.
You're constantly, well, okay, what did it mean to me? How can I apply it? those are kind of the tools. I do use Andy as a resource. I do have this questionnaire. Those are the things that I personally use. That's what I have. I have Andy and I have questions.
Hey, that's awesome. you gotta have your resources.
I actually, over the years, have collected probably a half a dozen or so books on how to study the Word of God. And almost every one of them have multiple lists of, here's questions you should ask yourself whenever you're reading a verse, a chapter, a book, whatever. And whenever you have just a handful of that, you don't have to check those, it's not like you have to answer every single one of those questions. Mm-hmm. It's just a guide, having those in the back of your mind as you're reading, and when you can jot things down, it just helps. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, I love to go back in my notebooks that I've written in, all year long, and I love to reread what I wrote, because it reminds me of life situations and questions that I had for God at that point in time,
Yeah.
And it helps me see where I was and where I am now. Yeah. And I don't know, it always helps me to go back and just look at the notes that I've jotted down. Like I said, it's not super in depth. It's not super spiritual. It's just thoughts that I had about that specific setting of scriptures. And so I would encourage, first and foremost, get a Bible, get a pen and paper, just keep it as simple as possible at first. And then, when you want to expand, then maybe go into, the concordance, the other resources. There's tons of commentary. I mean, there's so much stuff out there. I guess my warning, or my, hey, be careful on what you use as a resource. Again, going back to the idea of false prophets, you don't want to pick up a resource that's going to lead you astray in your, studying the Bible. So just be careful on, who wrote the study or who wrote the book or who wrote the resource, because you don't want it to be false teaching.
Right.
So just, that's I guess my heads up on that.
Yeah. And I think, too, when you're new to studying the Bible, not everyone has access to a Bible, right? But we have Bible apps that are free that you can download. I know I've said it before, I'll say it again on this show. I love my audio.
Yeah.
The dramatized version. I don't ever want to hear it not dramatized anymore. I'm here for it. I love it. I love the dramatized version. But I think if you find yourself I really want to, learn, and, I have my Bible, but, maybe I'm ready to start kind of deep diving a little bit more. I think if you don't know where to start, reach out to your pastor, your pastor's wife, your bishop.
Yeah.
I mean, there are going to be people in your church that are connected that,
they can give you guidance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is, what are you wanting to focus on? Mm-hmm. Right? What's your focus? Then I think you should start here. This would be a really good point to start here. And then that way, someone's already read it and studied it. So if you have questions, you can go to that person. Hey, this is what I thought. Is that what you thought? Or am I understanding you right? Mm-hmm. Am I completely off track? So I would also maybe encourage that too. If you're not sure, reach out to your pastor's wife, your bishop's wife, a Sunday school teacher, someone that you are comfortable, that you trust with, that you know is not going to put you on the path of, destruction. And nobody that would do that, intentionally.
And I think even if whenever you do reach out to that person, ask if they have a Bible study maybe that they could give you, or ask if they would do a Bible study with you, I mean, being able to study the Word of God with someone else is immensely it's immensely satisfying. It is so encouraging. You learn so much. Not only do you learn about God, about His Word, but you learn that you get
you develop a relationship with that person,
mm-hmm.
and it connects you with a brother or sister in Christ, which connects you even deeper with mm-hmm. Christ.
Yes.
And so being able to get together with someone else who has that same passion and love for the Word of God is, I would recommend it above and beyond, you know, so many other things.
Yeah.
So
some of my first memories of getting into church was doing a Bible study with Sister Hancock and Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
They were the very first people I ever did a Bible study with. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, those are some of my best memories. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were just, I mean, Andy had been out for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't remember who initiated it first. I don't, mm-hmm. I can't tell you. They may remember, I don't. But you know, they would host us one week. We'd have dinner. We'd do mm-hmm. a Bible study. We'd host them the next week, have dinner, do a Bible study. I loved and looked forward to those dinners mm-hmm. and those Bible studies. It is a beautiful memory. And mm-hmm. like you said, it is something, yes, if you can get a Bible study with somebody, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be dinner. Dinner's what worked for us,
yeah.
right? It may be over coffee. It may be just over, mm-hmm. you know, maybe food's not involved. But for us, that's what worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved and savored and cherished mm-hmm. every minute. It was a beautiful memory. And I'm so grateful that, mm-hmm. you know, they were like, yes, of course, we love you. We yeah. want to share the word with you. Great, because I don't know what we're talking about. You know what I mean? So it's yeah. wonderful when you can partner with people mm-hmm. in the church who love God, who've had a longer walk with God,
right.
and who are like,
yes. They can lead you. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's a beautiful witness for sure, testimony for just studying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So I want to just, I know we're probably coming up on time, but I do want to bring us right back around to two points that you made related to the Berean church. So you talked about the Bereans had a ready mind
mm-hmm.
and they went home and searched the scriptures. That's,
yep.
that's what the verse in Acts 17 says, that they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That's Acts 17:11. And so two things whenever it comes to studying the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
First, you have to have a ready mind. You have to be,
yes.
and that ready mind means receptive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be ready to receive the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive.
Mm-hmm.
It is a living organism as long as you have a ready mind.
Yes.
If you don't have a ready mind, you're wasting your time. You're just reading a book.
Yep.
You know, but the Word of God is so powerful. And it is alive whenever you're ready to hear it. When your ears, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that say, you know, if, oh goodness, now I've lost it. Let the church, you know, if you've got ears to hear.
Let them hear.
Let them hear. And so, hey, turn your ears on and let your mind be ready to receive the Word of God when you are studying and reading. And then secondly, just like the Bereans, don't be afraid to search the scriptures daily
mm-hmm.
on what you're hearing elsewhere.
Yeah.
If it's a sermon, if it's a podcast you're listening to, if it's, you know, someone that you're maybe listening to on TV or whatever, or you're just in a conversation and you're not sure, just please go back, search the scriptures for yourself. Make sure that what you are taking in is truth, and filter everything else out. Don't allow half-truths or things that look like, sound really good. Like you said, they might sound lovely. Doesn't mean it's biblical. So put that filter on. Make sure that the Word of God is your filter for everything in your life. Every decision, every thought that comes into your mind, every motive that comes through your heart, every word that comes out of your mouth. Let the Word of God be your filter. And the only way you can do that is to know the Word of God and to study it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I do like, you know, want to just encourage people too. It's not that you're doubting
no.
what you're hearing.
Yeah.
right?
No.
It is you being like, hey, I hear what you said. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and do my due diligence and do my part, right? So I guess I would just caution, like, if you are like, oh, okay, it's okay. You're not doubting.
Right.
You are like, cool, I heard that, I received it. I'm just going to go verify for myself that what I heard is true.
Yeah.
Right? And like, that's good. That's great. That's you getting Bible knowledge.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can't, he had talked about the significance of Bible knowledge, you know, and he was talking about the study to defeat temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he had referenced when he was in Matthew 4, we know Jesus just did his extended fast.
Right.
Satan came, he was trying to tempt him. But in the book, he always says, Christ responded to each temptation with, it is written.
Right.
Right, so you are going to have people come. It may not be Satan, but you may just have people in your life that you know that you don't know, that, and they're going to come against you, and you need to be ready, sound of mind, deep rooted in the word, because you may have to go against someone, and you don't want to show up to the battle unprepared,
right?
Because you're going to get eaten alive.
Yeah,
right. And that's not what you want. Yeah. You want to be ready, sound, ready mind, rooted, you know, in that. So
yeah. Well, and I think, whenever you're talking about being rooted, the other thing that immediately comes to mind is the challenges of life, the struggles of life, the hardships that you go through. If you are not rooted in the Word of God and you don't know God, it's very easy to have your mind play tricks on you, and you could very easily start believing that God is against you, or God is out to get you, or God is having his revenge on you. And absolutely none of that is true.
Right.
I mean, unless, you know, they're now that I'm not going to get into a whole discussion about that, but probably what has happened is you have not gotten rooted in the Word of God, and those challenges have come in and made you doubt. And so the only way that you can, you know, survive that hardship or whatever it is to be rooted in the Word of God and know that the Word of God is who God is, and know who God is to be able to survive those storms in life.
Yeah, and even in Romans 15:4, I don't have it written down, but this is the scripture where it talks about through scripture we gain patience and comfort, and the result of knowing this is hope.
Right.
Right.
Simple as that. I mean, the Word of God gives us hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, just having that feeling of hopelessness is, my goodness, I can't even.
It's devastating.
Yeah, it is. I was, of course, you know, raised in church, but just having a love for the Word of God and having that all of my life, I don't know that I've ever experienced that feeling of hopelessness. I've always just known I have hope in the Word of God. I have hope. As long as I stay connected to the Word of God, I have hope. And so that knowledge in and of itself has gotten me through so many challenges in life that, I mean, I don't know what I would do without the Word of God.
Yeah.
I really don't. And I wish and I pray that everyone in this world would experience what it means to have hope in the Word of God, because it's life-changing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all in there.
Yeah.
Salvation. You know, it's beautiful. Yeah. Hope, just the basics. Comfort, how to praise, it's any question you have, it's in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful.
And whenever you read it and you study it and you live it, your life is going to be blessed beyond your own comprehension. And blessings mean more than just, you know, dollar signs.
Right.
Blessings are having hope, the peace of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Those simple things are blessings in our life, especially in the tumultuous times that we live in. Mm-hmm. Just having hope, having joy, having peace of mind that comes only from knowing God and knowing his word. It's, I can't live without it.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, and I've heard people say, you know, you can look, you can search, and you know, you can try to, you think you can find it at the bottom of a bottle, you know, in drugs or whatever, you know, and you may love, I hate to say it, you may love the feeling of getting drunk.
Yeah.
But like, I have seen people drunk on the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
in joy, peace, love. Yeah. I mean, you think what you have in the world is so good, but there is nothing like experiencing it with God. Right. And it is, and then it's beautiful to see other people rejoice in it. You're like, yeah, I get it. I love it. You know, I know what you're feeling. It's great. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Right. For sure.
I love it.
All right. Well, I think that we've reached our time. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen in, and we would love it if you would rate us or leave a comment or something like that if you're able to on Spotify. I'm not really sure, but thank you guys so much, and we will see you again very soon.
All right. Bye, everybody.